party strides across a vast sea of tall grass on their way to sell loot from a dungeon. Feeling confident, they leisurely stroll and play the flat terrain no heed. Suddenly out from the vegetation strikes a fuzzy horror, which grabs the rogue and drags him into the depths of a vast strand of head-high purple grass.
Whether it's monsters, raiders, or a respite in a peaceful town, Grasslands offers something for everyone, including adventurers.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're talking about Grasslands.
That's right. The terrain that you probably have played in every TTRPG and really haven't thought too much of.
No.
At all.
Because why would you?
Because you're on the way to sell some stuff.
Sure.
And so tonight we're going to teach you how to run a campaign or even just a side quest in the grasslands, right?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different names. Could be a...
prairie.
Yeah, it could be a savanna.
Yeah.
Could be something else, which we didn't look up. But before we get to all that, hit the like and subscribe button. Help us get our show out to more people and get notified when amazing episodes come your way.
And hey, if you're listening to the show, give us a review on iTunes or Podchaser.
Or the lions out of the prairie will come and seize you and drag you into the grass.
Sure.
I mean, it can happen.
It happens literally all the time.
That's true, in Africa. So, Matt, why are we talking about grasslands and plains tonight?
Primarily, or largely, because it's underutilized and overlooked.
Yes.
So much of so many campaigns actually take place in farming communities and, you know, empire, the capitals of empires and stuff like that.
Long stretch of dusty road.
Yep.
Going across town. You've got some high tall grass, maybe a field.
Yeah. Which we promptly ignore until we get to the woods or the mountains or wherever else we're going.
Yeah. Nobody ever thinks about it unless you're maybe having a campaign that has like a battlefield, like a field, literally a battlefield.
Like a military, like large military action.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so we think that it's underutilized and you should play more in it.
Yeah.
Additionally, it contains most of civilization. Surprisingly, people like to live where there's good soil.
Imagine that. You mean a place where it's easier to grow food?
You mean where it's flat and there's lots of sunlight? You grow crops?
That's wild.
It's crazy talk, man. What else is going on with grasslands, Matt?
It has a wide variety of creature types.
Mm-hmm.
And story options.
Which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, lions.
Yeah.
Because I want to play a game with lions in it.
Sure.
And lionin, which are an awesome species as well. So let's get to the definition of what a grassland or a prairie or a savanna, a plain.
Yeah.
We're adding more as we,
we go along.
So Matt, what's a plain?
It is commonly known as a flatland.
Shocking. There's another definition for you, folks.
I was about to say, and there's what? Name number five?
Yeah.
It is a flat expanse of land that generally does not change much in elevation and is primarily treeless.
So, flat land, no trees.
Right.
Got it.
Basically, they can occur as lowlands along valleys or at the base of mountains. They can occur like coastal plains or as plateaus or uplands.
Mm-hmm.
All of those are plains.
All of them apply,
yep.
Right? If it's a flat, whether it's near a beach, whether it's in between a couple of mountains, whether it's just a long stretch, maybe even on top of a butte or something like that,
yeah.
You've got yourself a flat land, right?
Yep. Plain. Moors. There's another one.
Yeah, look, we got definitions galore tonight, Matt. Speaking of which, what's a grassland?
A grassland is an area where the vegetation is dominated by grasses.
It's got some grass.
Fun fact, 50% of the Earth's landmass is grassland.
Yeah. We got a lot of grass here, man. That's how it works. Trying not to make Marley references.
Yeah, there are too many jokes.
Too many jokes, folks.
That's the only one, theoretically.
Now, savannas, as we mentioned, contain lions,
yes.
Which is the important part, really.
Sure.
But also, they are tropical grasslands with widely spaced trees. So they got a couple of trees, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not enough to create a canopy. And it's dry. And tropical can mean tropical, like hot and wet or hot and dry.
Right.
Just depends. Prairies generally don't have many trees, but they might have shrubbery.
That's where the delicious berries and poisonous berries and delicious poisonous berries come from.
That's true. For the purposes of this show, we're going to talk about lowland areas with tall grasslands like the savannas in Africa or the Great Plains in the U.S.
Sure.
We're not going to talk a lot about tundra.
We already have a...
We have one on the taiga. And if you haven't seen it, go check it out. And we're not going to talk about some of the other ones because we didn't spend the time to look them up.
Now, naturally, as with every terrain, there are challenges you have to think about.
And the first challenge is travel. Matt, what's going on in traveling? You would think that traveling in the grasslands would be easy. It's flat. There might even be a road.
Sure.
You can, I mean,
where the civilization is.
Yeah, there's no trees. Like, what's the problem?
When most people think of grasslands, they think of grass as in lawns, right? Short, manicured, easy to see. Actual grasslands and prairies have very tall grass.
Like head-high grass.
Yes. And that makes tromping through it fairly difficult because not only can you not see very well, you have to push your way through.
Absolutely. So as a storyteller, stop and describe how the party looks walking through the tall grass, tromping through the tall grass, walking through the wet, swampy tall grass, the dry, bristly, insect-laden tall grass, the lion-infested tall grass.
The ape-infested tall grass.
There is a Netflix movie, and I cannot remember the name, and I'll post it in the comments below, but it's entirely about these people who get hear a distress call when they take a break, and they hear someone coming from inside this tall grass, and they run in there, and it's like a dimension of grass, and they get lost, and there's like an alien artifact in the center, and they kill each other because it tells it to.
Sure.
It's pretty cool, but if you want to think about like some freaky tall grass, go watch that movie.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of tall grass, Matt.
Visibility, as I started to mention, is it's problematic when you're wading through a field of grass that's taller than your head.
We're talking about you, Mr. Gnome.
And halfling, and
Anybody small.
I was going to say, not only small things, but dwarves average 5 to 5.5 feet tall.
That's a good point. Unless you're a Goliath, you're probably, hey, got head-high grass, can't see very well, right?
Yep.
Now, because of that, it's easy to get lost.
Sure.
Anybody that's ever gotten to a corn maze understands, right? You think it's a corn maze. How hard can it be? You start tromping through the corn. If it's a field of corn, it's easy to get turned around, right? Particularly if you can't see any geographical regions.
And even if it's not very tall, the same looking geography in every direction for days can easily cause a party or any group of people to get turned around.
So cue the survival checks, cue those navigation checks if you're playing it, depending upon your game. The idea is, as a storyteller, you want to explain, A, you're closed in, right? Because there's grass everywhere.
Yeah.
B, there might be bugs. That's always fun.
Sure.
Get them hit with a little bit of...
giant centipedes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then they can ride out of the tall grass.
Indeed.
Just got to rustle up. I'm rustling up some giant centipedes. Yeehaw, get my cowboy hat. Let's ride. Get the whole party on one insect.
Sure.
So it's easy to get lost in the grass. Let's talk a little bit about some terrain elements in the prairie.
Going back to the people tend to think of lawns.
Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of grass.
Like what?
So do your best to describe the grass because corn is technically... a grass.
Sure.
You've got long, tall elephant grass. Now, you could have something as short as like Bermuda grass.
But who knows if you've ever seen like a vacant lot, it gets pretty squirrely.
That's true. You could also have oats, like red oats. Mm-hmm.
Get wheat.
And another great thing to keep in mind is while we tend to think of grass as green or in late summer, fall, golden colored. There are naturally, just out in our real world, there are red grasses, there are blue grasses, there are purple grasses. There's no reason to just be like, it's green and it remains green and nothing but green everywhere the green is.
Hey man, you're playing a fantasy world. It could be black grass. It could be, paisley grass where Hamless the Paisley Mage rolls himself a paisley joint.
Sure.
It could happen. Lives in the paisley world, my friends. So yeah, think about like the color, describe the texture. It could be razor grass. Maybe as you're walking through, you're getting sliced to ribbons, except for the paladin who has full armor on.
Sure. And if you don't think that's a thing, I invite you to go run through some pampas grass.
Oh, that stuff sucks. You'll walk out with like just cuts.
Only do it once.
Yeah, it's not fun, my friends. How thick is it? That's another thing to consider. So you could be tromping through the grass, no big deal, right? You're just walking in the woods, it's just tall grass. But you might need a machete to clear it.
Sure, if it's deeply, densely packed.
You might have to like just swim through that stuff. Meanwhile, the giant centipede's chasing you. He's already eaten the rogue and the cleric. The cleric's done. He's slowly digesting over the course of 1,000 years.
Clerics are delicious.
If you're on a steppe, you might have to worry about it all, right? Maybe it's really short grass.
Sure.
And that's fun, too. It doesn't have to be tall grass that kills you.
Nope.
When you can see the enemy and you know that they're faster than you, then the whole part about you running from them and them running you down is...
Yes. Cheetahs.
Exactly. Yeah, cheetahs are great.
Dire cheetahs.
Dire cheetahs. That's what's up right there. In addition to that, you can have lakes, rivers, marshes, and floodplains. All sorts of water,
yep.
Right? It's a flat land.
Springs.
A hot spring or a cold spring would be fun.
Yeah.
Natural springs.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little Caddyshack. Could be golf courses on there for some reason.
Now, that would be really funny. Like, if you're playing one of those games that has a humor bent to it, right? You're just smashing your way through head-high grass.
And you reach
and you come across a perfectly manicured green.
15th hole. And you're just there. You're like, what? What's going on?
Dude,
that would be great for, like, a shadow run. Or even, like, a World of Darkness.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, you're running from the werewolves. You're playing a bunch of vampires. You run through the tall grass, come out of the forest, and you're at the 15th hole. And there's maybe, like, some dead humans that have been mauled by the werewolves. You have to take up the clubs and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Did I...
You got to serve it up.
Did I tell you that's happened to me?
What, you've been mauled by werewolves at the 15th hole?
No. So, I was out camping, and it was getting dark, and we were just looking for any clear space to pitch the tents.
Yeah.
Found a clear space. It was pitch black by the time we got to it. Threw up the tents. Literally at dawn.
You camped on a golf course?
Someone was cursing us. I mean, just losing their mind, cursing us out. We came out, and it's a groundskeeper for a golf course because we had broken the edge of a tree line.
Oh, no. And you had put down your stakes?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, you know, shit happens, man. You could have been a pit trap, man. Tell them to play through.
Well, the thing is the golf course was right on the edge of a national forest. Maybe put up a fence, maybe.
You put up a sign or something.
Frickin' something.
Some glow sticks, anything, really. Tell people what's going on, right? Yeah, so think about, like, lakes, rivers, marshes. You know, most cities are formed on, like, on a river or a lake anyway, and there's generally grasslands on the side of that. That's a great way to do kind of a fun semi-adventure, maybe on a lake, right?
A lot of early civilization was on floodplains because of...
Mesopotamia, my friends. Yeah. Don't think it's just all flat. There can be some variation. What are we talking about that?
We got trees. Generally, out on the plains, if you're not at a source of water, you will have literally single or maybe a small stand of like 3 or 4 trees.
Just enough to climb to see all of the zombies come at you for miles around.
In fact.
Lots of fun there.
Now, when you get to rivers, you may be able to recognize the river by the fact that there's a line of trees suddenly.
Oh, on the river?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could happen too. Yeah, and they're generally not enough to make a canopy, just interspersed.
Yep.
Have fun playing with that as well. We could also have natural trails or created trails. So we mentioned roads, obviously a created trail.
Sure.
But they could be, on the plains, you often have herds of animals, which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
They maybe have created just a natural trail from them walking back and forth on the plains.
Yeah. And game trails, because deer live in grasslands as well.
It's true. Dire moose live on the grasslands. Big titanic war moose.
Yes. They don't tend to have many natural predators, though.
That's it. Moose?
Yes. Certainly not dire moose.
Only other moose. What else we got going on?
You're going to have hills and barrows and pits and the occasional bog.
Sand traps,
yeah. Quicksand.
Yeah. Some pissed off golfers occasionally. Yeah. You get some rocky outcroppings as well, where there's transition land, which is always fun. So don't think of it as just as one flat piece. You can have different transitions between things, and that's always fun, particularly if you're waiting in the tall grass. So for example, let's say you've got a party of people. You know, get the cleric, the wizard, the paladin, and the rogue, okay?
Sure.
Wizard's just tromping through. He's in the back, right? Actually, right. He's in the center because he's not going to mess around.
Right.
The rogue is towards the back.
Okay.
So that the rogue can stab everybody else. And let's say the paladin's tromping forward, right? Just blazing a trail because there isn't a range.
Screw it. Yeah.
Screw it. He's tromping through, trying to get through the grass, bangs his shins on a rock, like an outcropping or something like that. Well, that hurts. Everybody else, you know, steps over it because they realize it, but the rogue's not paying attention, and the rogue's a halfling and bangs his face, breaks his nose.
Splat.
The Goliath barbarian,
which, he's laughing the whole time.
Yeah, steps right over the rocky outcropping. That's fun to have, right? Pit traps are even greater. Imagine tromping through, again, dense grass, or maybe just regular grass, right? You're thinking, we're going to make a run for it, run across the plain.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you start sinking because there's a sinkhole or a pit trap.
I was literally thinking like a viper pit, like a rattlesnake pit or something.
Oh, that would
just
be fun.
Walking along, and the paladin just disappears.
Yeah, yeah. They're like,
and the next thing you hear is tink, 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 tink.
Why is that grass waving? Oh, it happens to be long, tall vipers that look exactly like the long, tall grass. Additionally, what else we got going on for us?
Temperature.
Okay.
In grasslands, the temperatures can vary wildly. It can be very hot. It can be very cold. It can be very wet. It can be very dry.
Or it could be delightfully temperate.
It could be. Could be wonderful. But those variances are obviously going to influence the plant and animal life that your characters are going to come across. And it's also going to affect their quality of life.
Sure. So, storyteller note, think about how hot or cold it is, or at least the general temperature of where you are geographically, because they might have cold nights and maybe hot days or something like that, or sure. They might be in the close to the tundra, and so it just might be cold, right? It might be snow. You could be wading through snow, which has been kind of compacted on the grass, which would not be fun, right?
No.
The horizon is something to think about. How far can you see? So if you're in between a couple of mountain ranges, right? So maybe it's just a valley in between, then you'd be able to see the mountains, right?
Sure.
Now, it could still be a very large plain. And there's always the problem of, okay, cool. There's the mountain. We got to get to that mountain range. So you trudge off. Next thing you know, you wake up in the morning, you've got 2 days worth of rations. It's still there. Not gotten any closer, though.
You realize that the mountain that you thought was a relatively small mountain is an immense mountain that was just very, very far away.
And your corpse is in the center now of the plain because you didn't pack enough rations.
And, you know, speaking of the horizon and how far you can see, if you're the halfling, about 3 feet.
That's true. Yeah, because you're not seeing over the grass, right?
Yeah.
Goliath might see a little bit more if you could fly. Hey, guess what? You can do a little aerial reconnaissance, right? Now, one of the fun things also is if you can see far away, what are you looking at? Can you see towns in the distance?
Yeah.
Can you see enemies approaching? That's always fun because this is a bonus. You might be able to use tactics. Also, they can see you. So if you're trying to sneak up on a town, they can see you from miles away. So by the time you get there, they might already be ready with magic spells.
Sure.
Dire monsters and such.
Something else you need to think about is, in a fantasy setting, are there any fun magical elements to these planes?
Yeah. So let's give an example of a fun magical plane, Matt.
You know me, I'm a big fan of Fae. So what do planes Fae look like? In the forest, you've got dryads and things like that that are very, you know, forest delineated creatures.
That's a good point. I don't know what a grass-oriented Fae creature would be. That's kind of cool.
Like little grass sprites and
You know what they would look like? They would look like the little puffballs. The, what are they called? Dandelions?
Yeah, dandelions.
Yeah, they'd look like dandelions. And they would just kind of float around until they like zap you with electricity or something like that.
Sure.
That'd be kind of neat.
Those lone trees could be very important.
Could be treants. Mm.
Or dryad trees.
Oh, that's a good point. You could have big, tall thickets of shrubbery or grass, which could also be intelligent creatures. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of those as well. But that's kind of fun to think about. Another thing to think about also, hey, battles are fought on planes.
Yes.
So think about, there could be lots of undead. There could be barrows, right? Maybe people buried. There could be ruins of cities.
Sure.
There could be magical confluences. There could be crop circles. There should be crop circles.
Absolutely.
I love crop circles.
I know.
We're talking about dangerous stuff, obviously, so this is a good segue to maybe talk about some natural dangers first.
Okay, as far as natural dangers go, the number one natural danger in the grasslands is fire.
Yeah, turns out grass burns pretty well.
It burns very hot and very quickly, and it literally will change on a dime with the wind.
Absolutely. Storms can crop up and drench you, carry your house away, put you in a land with nice golden road, a bunch of short people.
Yeah, that's a different wizard entirely. Got to look out for tornadoes on planes.
Speaking of which.
Yeah. Also, depending on the climate, snow or heat could both be killers.
Yeah, and could be at the same time too, right?
Yeah.
Depends on where you're at. It's easy to die of exposure if you're unprepared, because dying of exposure in, say, the tundra, well, you could dig down, I guess. But I mean, if you're on the grasslands, I guess you could roll up a bunch of grass for like insulation or something like that, but it might not, if it's short grass, you might be out of luck, right? There's no trees to climb under.
Yeah, you got to split open a tauntaun to climb in.
Yeah. Seasonal flooding is also something that's fun to consider as a storyteller, right? If you're in an area that floods seasonally, maybe there's tromping along again, right? Typical party. Paladin's tromping ahead. The rangers, he sees something in the distance, starts raining really badly, maybe. He starts running, right? Everybody else in the party's like, what the hell's going on with the ranger? Next thing you know, the deluge approaches.
I'm of the opinion that if I am not a nature-based character and a nature-based character in a natural environment starts sprinting,
I run after him.
I run after them. Yep. 100%.
That is, yeah. Every time the druid runs or the ranger runs, I'm following the ranger or the druid.
If we're in the heart of a city and the rogue takes off,
follow the
right
rogue.
Right behind the rogue.
That's right. Absolutely. There could be all kinds of fun wildlife, and there should be.
Yeah.
Both the natural kind and the magical kind, which we'll get to in a bit. And what else?
Poisonous plants.
There should be poisonous plants. Could be poison ivy, or could be something even worse.
Sure. Like I said, poison berries.
Yeah. Matt, it's a hostile world. What else is hostile out there?
Hostile inhabitants.
Yeah. You got stuff that you want to take from them. They know that you want to take their stuff. They want to kill you before you kill them. Potentially.
Potentially. Or they were bandits to begin with, and they're just out to take your stuff.
They unleash some deadly creatures upon you to save themselves.
Sure.
They could happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of deadly creatures, what kind of creatures do we have on the plains, Matt?
We have large grazing herd animals of all types. You know, horses, cows, elephants, giraffes, buffaloes, rhinos, wildebeests, goats, deer, kangaroos. If it eats grass, you can find it here.
That's right. Small mammals and reptiles also, because, you know, it's the plains, right?
Sure.
And we also have predators, which is always fun. So let's think about wolves, wargs, tigers, lynx, cheetah, lions, hyenas, bears. Oh, my. If it eats large grazing animals, it belongs here.
Imagine that.
Predominantly, big things in herds and things that eat the big things in herds.
And small things that are trying to dodge both of those things.
Get the fuck out of the way. Yes. What else we got going on in the plains, Matt?
You're also
going
to find birds of all different types.
Okay.
You know, the tall grass is a great place to hide.
Yeah, natural birds, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. And you could also have monstrous birds as well, so there's nothing wrong. Again, you're in plain sight. Yep. There could be a thunderbird that just kind of storms along and zaps you with lightning and feasts on your corpse, or a rock.
Sure. Elephants are delicious.
Elephants are, in fact, delicious.
If you're a rock.
Now, these animals, we found don't get enough love, Matt.
Apes and baboons.
Yeah. Throw some apes and baboons in your game. Perfect place to do it is on the savannah or on a prairie. It's a fantasy game. You can throw all the stuff in there.
Yeah. Toss it in a blender and pour it out. Also something to think about, because all of this grass requires water. Mm-hmm. Water predators.
Like what?
Things like hippos, crocodiles, giant snakes.
Yeah, get an anaconda, just wrap you around. Drags a druid down. That's what's up. Didn't expect that.
And look, everybody loves a cute little non-venomous snake until it's 40 foot long.
Until you're in its belly?
Right.
Yeah. Also, dinosaurs.
Yes.
Now, Matt and I are pro-dinosaur.
100%.
Matt's team Ankylosaurus, of course. I'm team T-Rex. But you could also have Allosauruses, Stegosauruses, Brachiosaurus, right?
Yeah.
Get a big old Diplodocus roaming the land. Think about that.
If you're near mountains or a plateau or something like that, you could have pterosaurs just...
Yeah, throw some pterosaurs in there. Just kind of swirling around in the breeze.
Yeah, and speaking of terrifying bird-like creatures, what about some terror birds?
Terror birds are... Imagine a parrot and a raptor had a child, but it's the size and relative shape of an ostrich.
Except...
It's like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it doesn't have a squirrely little neck like an ostrich.
No, it big old parrot.
Big.
Yeah. A terror parrot. Getcha. It's a great time for giant mammals from the Miocene or the Pleistocene.
Sure.
I mean, the age of mammals, the whole was caused by grasslands, right?
Right.
So, saber-toothed tigers, right? Smilodons. Giant sloth.
Yeah. Delphinus.
Yeah.
The bear dogs.
Bear dogs. Yeah, it was in the early ages, right? Woolly rhinos, woolly mammoths, woolly everything. Giant moose could be those things with the antlers on its nose.
Yeah, the megatherians.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, basically what we're getting at is just because it died out in the real world doesn't mean it has to be dead in your world.
Yeah, it should be your game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like dinosaurs, what we're saying. Now, let's talk a little bit about some monsters because we're talking about dinosaurs. Now, let's get into like the actual monsters. First off, this is a great place for insects, ant kegs. If you don't know what an ant keg is,
it's kind of like a giant centipede that spits acid.
Sort of. Yeah, I've always seen it in the images as it looks kind of like a dragonfly larva to me or an ant lion.
Okay.
And yeah. But yeah, it spits acid for one, and it eats cows.
Yes.
And you.
Or it eats your mounts.
Oh, that would suck. You're tromping along, trying to make some time,
yeah,
right?
You're making good time.
Making good time. Maybe you're being chased.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You got away, right?
That's how you screw up a chase scene.
You got away. Yes, that's exactly what happens. You got away. You've stolen the magical doohickey, and they're chasing you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might be a little... You can't just have an outright battle. You got to get away, right? Grab the magical MacGuffin. You're hauling ass through the grasslands. You come across a farm. You roll through the farm, right? Just making a shortcut. And all of a sudden, these pinchers come out and just spear your horse.
Yeah.
You go flying. You make the check. You roll. Do a little bit of damage, right? And it consumes the horse and then sprays you with acid.
Sure.
Bad times, my friend.
You know the answer to that. You polymorph it.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait for the people chasing you to catch up.
Oh.
Turn off the polymorph and take off running.
You turn it into like a small fuzzy animal.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. You could have dire creatures. We've mentioned some. So first off, dire lions.
Yes.
I've got lions on the brain tonight, but dire lions would be great.
Dire rats.
A dire rat would be hilarious, right?
You and I, much in the way that we're pro-dinosaur, we are pro-dire everything.
Yes. How about a dire bison?
I'm for that. Dire armadillos.
Dire armadillos would be great. I mean, those are basically ankylosaurus.
I mean, without the club tail, but...
Sure.
But they've got nasty claws instead.
Yes, you could have gorgons and cockatrice.
Sure.
And why not?
Yeah. You got anything equine, right? So Pegasus or nightmares or centaurs.
Centaurs would be great in the plains.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah, they're forest creatures, but throw them in the plains. Sure, they don't
actually make more sense in the plains than the forest to me.
A lot of space for them to grow food and eat food.
Yep.
And run you down, trample you.
And they're tall enough to see over the grass in most cases.
Yes. Could have gnolls or ogres or goblins. Gnolls would be great, first off, because they're hyenas anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, and they're demonic hyenas in 5th edition. So, have them in the plains. Have them in a savanna.
Sure.
You know what would also be cool would be Luxodon.
Yeah.
The elephant people? That would be awesome.
Lamia. Speaking of having lions on the brain.
Yeah.
They'll... Half lions running around, might as well.
Run into a pit trap then, because they're illusionists. I think it would be fun to have plant creatures, so you don't see a lot of different plant creatures in the plains.
Right.
Imagine a treant. Instead of a tree, it's just like a gnarly-looking patch of grass. You come walking along, maybe you need to start a fire, right? You make a camp, and you're right next to it. You don't know it's a treant.
Sure.
And then, all of a sudden, its razory leaves reach out and grab you.
So you can have entire stands of bamboo that are actually one plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you awaken that one plant, you've got something very big to deal with. The same thing is true for grass. Grass can grow the same way. I mean, bamboo is a type of grass, but it can grow the same way. So yeah, if you had just an awakened patch of grass, it's just like doom, doom, doom.
Get your ass beat by a lawn?
Yeah.
That would suck, right?
But you're fighting an entire, you know, 3 acres of lawn.
Yeah. Anything that is swarm related would be a lot of fun. Swarms of bees, swarms of sturges, swarms of locusts, and dragons. Maybe not swarms of dragons, but just dragons.
Not swarms of them.
A swarm of dragons.
For sure.
A swarm of dragons would be terrible for anything.
Also, as we kind of touched on before, because grasslands are most often used as battlefields, having tons of undead make perfect sense.
100%. I totally agree. And of course, the oft-overlooked Behir.
I never see them used. I love them. They're wonderful. They're like six-legged giant lizards that launch lightning bolts. And while that's moderately scary in most locations, in a grasslands, anything spitting fire, anything spitting lightning,
anything you can't dodge
is a bad time.
Sure.
Because even if you dodge the lightning, it's going to hit the surroundings.
Yes. Speaking of unusual creatures, you have an interesting unusual creature, and we're talking about what, Matt?
We are talking about the question of the week.
All right. So hit me. I have a little bit of foreknowledge about this because you mentioned it was a creature. So tell me what's going on here.
I'm going to do things slightly differently. We are going to stay on theme, which I try to do. I'm just going to give you a name.
Okay.
I want a description of the creature.
So a creature name to make into a description. All right, fun.
Often used as beasts of travel, the Bergzolgi Plainstrider, first documented by Jacobine Bergzolgi, can be best described as what?
Bergzolgi Plainstrider. Interesting. Plainstrider. I see it as, imagine a pangolin.
Hmm. Okay.
With kind of like a shovel head, like a flat shovely head.
Okay.
So like a flatworm, you know, a flatworm kind of has like this wedge shaped head.
Yeah.
So imagine like that. So maybe it uses its head to dig, but it's very elongated. And the end of it has a split tail. So it has two tails.
Okay.
That thrash about. And in the center is a membrane that is almost like a net. And then the body is very pebbly, armored and pebbly. So somewhat ankylosaurus in many ways.
Okay.
And it's very large, obviously, but it strides along on kind of stumpy looking legs. But what it's used for predominantly is a beast of burden. So people will ride on the actual creature, and then at where the tail is, they throw all their shit.
Sure.
Now, in times of war, they can teach it to toss whatever is in the tail, and it's an active catapult.
Nice. Like a light catapult?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it uses it, you know, in nature, I would justify that it uses it to capture things.
Sure.
Or smack its enemies. And it's got the shovel head because it digs. So it's basically a living siege engine. It could dig through or under a tower. It toss stuff.
But it's also good for smacking birds out of the air because it's basically a net.
Yeah.
Whack.
And, of course, for carrying stuff.
Sure.
So that's my answer. I just see that in my brain.
Okay.
Now, what is your answer?
In a rare occurrence, you and I are on completely different wavelengths this time.
Okay.
So I'm thinking like a terrestrial bat.
Terrestrial bat. Okay. Yeah.
So it's got the big hands, but it walks more ape-like, like short bottom legs.
So like stilt legs?
Yeah.
Okay. So something like from the Stephen King, was it The Mists? Those big stilt-like monsters?
Yeah,
trust me on that.
I believe.
I get what you're saying.
But with a bat-shaped head because it uses echolocation throughout the grasslands.
Cool.
Like it walks above it and then shouts down to find prey.
Hey! So it's a meat eater.
Yeah. It's a bat.
Yeah, but it's a beast of burden.
Yes. Oh, well, it's a beast of travel.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't carry a whole lot. But it can carry a person, and it can move very quickly through the grassland.
I see it very tall, too. So the legs are very, like, almost giraffe-like. Yeah, like at least a story tall. And it just kind of ambulates along.
And it's got, to me, and the way I see it is, you know how bats actually have very widespread hands for their wings? It's got wide splayed fingers with claws And so when it does find something, it just
mauls it.
Mauls.
Yeah, it'd be good on the grass because it can just kind of lope along.
Yep.
That's cool. I like that. Of course, we're always interested in what your answer is to the question of the week. So if you have one, hit us up at Gobbler's Corner on Twitter, or you can find us on the various social media channels that Matt frequents.
It's true. Yeah. Let us know what a Bergzolgi plane strider looks like. And if you're watching this on YouTube, just let us know in the comments below.
Now let's talk a little bit about some unique cultures in the plains.
Okay.
Now, the first thing that is apparent to me, at least, probably to other people, is if you've got a lot of grassland with good soil, you've got farmers.
Yeah. You're going to have farming villages. You're going to have, what, herders?
Ranchers, maybe?
Yeah.
Could have a whole bunch of, what is it, the Bergzolgi plain striders.
That would be hilarious. Just as cowboys, people riding giant bat creatures.
That would be awesome. Yeehaw, it's big old, they got themselves a 10-gallon hat and a 10-gallon bat.
I love it. You're going to have just any type of horse riding culture. And, you know, the Riders of Rohan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go a little Lord of the Rings actions on that. And of course, you don't have to have horses, right? It could be giant elephants, giant moose, giant anything. Could ride some lions, folks.
Absolutely.
It's a bad kitty to ride, though. Let me tell you, you got to have yourself some rawhide and you better watch yourself with them kitties if you're going to ride a lion.
I was thinking the saber-tooth riders.
Yeah. Boy, you see a bunch of... You know what would be great is... All right, because I don't know how big a saber-tooth cat is, but I'm assuming it's pretty big.
It's larger than a lion, I believe.
Okay, so it could. So a medium-sized creature could ride it.
Yeah.
You're a party of adventurers cresting... Let's just say it's like a low rise, right? In the distance, you see something approaching, right? Because you can see it for miles, and it's coming. And it's got that lope, like that predatory cat lope, and it's coming at you. The party's like, what is that? I don't know. Gets a little closer. Is that a guy riding a lion? He keeps going, that's a saber-toothed tiger. And then the druid starts running. You know what I mean? And then the smart party members start running as well.
When the druid turns into a creature that can fly, figure out how to fly, my man.
Get out of there. Now, fun culture also is any type of nomadic people. So caravan people, was it halflings in the colorful?
Bardos, if you're going for that Romani type feel.
Yeah. You could also do merchants, which are nomadic. Tinkerers.
Yeah.
But to gnomish tinkers would be fun.
Or even just, you know, they don't even have to be a caravan based people. They could just walk.
Yeah.
Like they're just super comfortable in their surroundings. Yeah.
They just live where they live. They live on the plains. Maybe it's just they follow the herd. It could just be something that is fun in your game. It doesn't have to be a combat situation at all. It could be a side quest. Maybe your party just got done getting stomped by some dude on a saber-toothed tiger.
Right.
And they escaped with their lives. And they need some R&R. And there might be some nomadic people there. They've got some kind of shelter set up, right? Whether it's caravans or tents or even just dug a hole in the ground, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the Loxodon nomads following the waves of grain.
Yeah. They've got little briefcases on their noses.
Sure.
So they could all be good.
Sure.
Or they could be what?
I mean, they could all be bandits.
Yeah. So play it whichever way you like.
Anytime you've got places of commerce, you're going to have people who prey on commerce.
Yep. You could have explorers, you could have pathfinders, map makers, and so forth. You could also have hermits.
Absolutely.
Now, this is fun because if you're a learned wizard, you've produced a whole bunch of spells, famous wizard, right?
Famous.
You don't want to live in the city. You're not Kelvin Blackstaff. You want to live someplace out in the woods, right?
This is the middle of nowhere.
Where nobody will bother you, so you can do your research in peace. So you
300 miles into the prairie.
Yeah. Now, they can see it for 300 miles, but so can you. And you've got a tower.
Something I'd be interested in seeing is, what does a plains druid look like?
A plains druid?
Right, because, you know, people think about forest druids and stuff like that. What does a plains druid look like?
Could be anything.
Yeah
that's kind of cool. That's something to think about. We also have armies, because armies like to fight, and they like to gather in big numbers, and it's really hard to do that in a forest.
Yes. Turns out.
Yeah. So they might, and we've mentioned, of course, undead, so that's opportunity for encountering an undead army, or a goblin army, or an army of gnolls, or any type of monster, really, or just people.
Yeah. People are awful anyway. It's probably a people army.
It could be a people army.
You're going to find civilizations in the Flatlands. That is primary place where they develop.
Lots of civilizations, right?
Yep.
We've got D&D civilizations as well, too. We'll talk about a couple of these. Lionin or Tabaxi are always fun to have in the plains.
Yep. Centaurs, as we mentioned.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing about centaurs, too. They're really good at shooting bows. So not only can they run you down, but they can also shoot you as you run away.
Yes, because as stated before, they can see over the grass.
Yes. Talked about gnolls. Halflings would be fun as well.
Goblin. Now, I do like the idea of a civilized gnoll group just out in the plains.
It's got a gnoll tie, gnoll 9 to 5.
Well, no, it's just if you're in the place where prey is plentiful and you're not starving and you're not having to raid because you can literally just walk 30 feet and find something to eat.
What's a gnoll city look like? Built on the bones of the carcasses that they eat, perhaps?
Sure. Just made out of dire animal carcasses.
Yeah, it looks like a house made out of chicken wings.
I kind of dig the idea of a bone city.
A bone? Yeah.
Bone and leather?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely a necromancer chilling out in the middle of that city, let me tell you.
Sure.
And we also, of course, mentioned goblins. Now, a city full of goblins? Look, poor goblins got to live someplace, right?
Yeah. Once again, in the plains, food is plentiful. Why not just chill out? Same for halflings, right?
Yeah. And, happy community of short people. Be fun.
Could have a community of halflings and goblins.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah. Have some little hobbling kids running around.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. Why not? You should. We've got a bunch of interesting themes as well. The first, of course, travel and exploration. And again, most of the time when you encounter something on the plains, you're getting from one place to the next. And so it's usually a montage of something, but you can always have that theme of travel.
Also, being on the hunt or being hunted.
Yes, you might have to be hunting that party of orcs. And you're...
who is in turn hunting you.
Yes. Yeah, well, they might, might be hunting you. Yes, Orokai coming after your ass. You could have ruins. That's a fun theme as well. The idea that, you know, maybe there are multiple different civilizations that were built on these plains.
Sure. If this is the place where civilizations tend to develop and something has occurred where civilizations fall, this is where the ruins are going to be.
Could happen.
Also, forging anew, like new cities or expansionism, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you're tasked with creating a new town and you strike out into the wilderness.
I like the idea of like a kingdom that is trying to get somewhere, and basically you go, you found a town, which then becomes the staging point for another group going and founding a town.
Could be a trade town, right? Out middle of the plains, good place to go. A lot of flat land to see everything.
Sure.
Might be kind of fun. The concepts of civilization, as we mentioned before, is always a fun theme. Agriculture, because you're farming stuff, and the homelands.
Because people are living here and having civilizations, the whole concept of hearth and home.
Yeah, gods of the hearth and stuff.
Yep.
On a more creepy side, we could do a little He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
Sure.
Children of the Corn action.
Yeah.
Be fun. Doesn't have to be corn, by the way. Could be
rows of wheat. Could
be rows of anything, really.
We've mentioned this between us, and I love the concept of the players going on a safari.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a modern safari, right? Of course, if you play Shadowrun, you could go on a really awesome awakened creature safari.
Sure.
World of Darkness, what kind of safari would you go on that? Think about that.
Really depends on what type of character you're
playing. That is true. Fantasy safari would be hilarious. Maybe you're going after the majestic plains flump.
Yeah. The other option is you're going out on a capturing safari, not a hunting safari.
Oh, bring it back alive.
Yeah.
That's fun. Or maybe
make it more difficult.
Maybe extract the venom of some kind of particular animal.
Yeah.
Because you got to save somebody. It has to be taken alive.
Yeah, the gargantuan dire rattlesnake.
Yeah, the fuzzy gargantuan dire rattlesnake get you. The concepts of sky and land are also fun.
And openness and just wide, enormous spaces. Yeah,
endless bounty. And such. And of course, war, which we mentioned many times. And that's an easy one, but there's nothing to say that you can't start a campaign in the middle of a war on a battlefield. And you're like, well, what are we doing?
Or at the very start of a war.
Oh, that would be fun.
You're literally, everybody's chilling at the tavern or chilling at their house or whatever. And the first strike is against your hometown.
Yeah.
War's on.
Yeah. And finally, Matt, what do we have?
Beer and booze.
Because there's wheat. Wheat is a grass.
And this is where it comes from.
Yeah. Now, finally, we have a few story options for you that we've written down. Of course, these are just, you know, a couple, right? Little couple adventure seeds for you to use to grow your own Plains adventures. See how
I see what you did there.
Kind of shoved that in there.
Yeah.
Here's the first one. Players must guard a caravan against bandits on its way to the next town. Simple enough.
Now you've turned what is a kind of possibly boring travel montage into a paying job that also provides NPCs and chances to interact.
Yeah.
A brewer is paying good money for the discovery of new grains to try.
Yeah, get some of that Paisley grain. Hamlish the Paisley Mage.
I think it actually makes Paisley beer.
Paisley beer.
Like, it literally makes Paisley.
Oh my God, what would it do to you if you drank Paisley beer? A gold dragon sits in a sunlit pasture, surrounded by cows, and will answer one question players ask of it. If the question is trivial, penance must be paid. What is the penance to the gold dragon?
Who knows?
If dude's taxes.
Sure.
That would suck. Don't get it wrong. Better be getting money back.
An army of gnolls is gathering in a nearby savanna.
That could suck.
Good.
Could be an option for diplomacy. Maybe you have a lot of meat. You can pay them off.
Sure. Or you might be able to set up a pact of mutual defense with them.
That would be cool, right? Yeah. A local city is being stalked by something which hunts amidst the tall grass. It's a dire lion.
Sure.
Dragging you into
it's the two
grass.
Dire lions.
Two dire lions. Yep. That's how they get you.
Players stumble across a large barrow stone which leads into a dungeon of horrors.
What a great way. We talked about ruins, right?
Yep.
They're walking along. Paladin's stropping forward. Bangs his knees on the stone. Turns out it's Cairn stone, right?
I think he trips and falls straight into the cairn.
He trips and falls into the dungeon.
Yeah.
Just so they could hear him all the way down.
Warning everything in the dungeon that something has arrived.
Yep. The Goliath in the back, you know, just already saw it. Yeah, because he saw it. Descending into the grasslands from the mountains, the players could see a strange pattern in the grasses far to the west. What could it be?
And think about how big it has to be. To be able to see it.
Could it be some stones that maybe a civilization set up to be seen from space?
It's an enormous crop circle.
Crop circles. Speaking of crop circles, Matt.
Crop circles mysteriously appear at a local farm outside of town. Those who investigate disappear.
Yeah. Maybe it's a planar dimension someplace else to the grass fit.
Yeah. It's a summoning circle 100%.
I totally agree with that. A tribe of nomadic woolly ankylosaurus riders has entered a nearby plain and seeks to trade with inhabitants across the river.
Sure.
Could they be friendly? Yeah. We'll make them friendly, right?
Absolutely. They're seeking to trade.
Yeah. They want to trade. They want you to pet the delightful woolly ankylosaurus. They want you to gaze upon its lovely fur.
Its majesty.
Its majesty.
A magical fish, which when eaten grants one wish, appears every seasonal flood. Players must acquire it for reason.
Yeah, for any reason, right?
Because it's a wish.
you know, in my head, it's when you pull it out of the water, it's going to talk like a Billy Bass, start singing to you.
Bread in the water.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Here's one. A grass fire endangers a nearby town. Done.
Yeah. Simple.
You're surrounded by grass. Your city is in the center of the grass. It's the dry season. It's now on fire.
This is a problem.
You want to up the ante? Have a pyromaniac or a pyromancer or even a dragon starting the fire.
Yeah. Hey, a warlock of the arson demon.
Yeah. Yeah. Arson lock?
Yeah.
Or fire elemental that got loose?
Yeah, that's a... We did an episode on minor fiends. I jumped in the Wayback Machine for a second.
Yeah, check that one out. I forgot about the lesser known fiends. Good callback. And finally, Matt, what do we got?
Characters go on a safari adventure. What fucked up animals will they see in your game?
Oh, they're going to be really messed up to me.
Yeah, I've met you.
So there you have it. Several options to create your own grassland adventure. A couple of story options as well to kind of set the mood, ways to create some suspense, maybe even some cultures and creatures.
And some themes to keep in mind as you're telling the story.
That's right. Any questions or comments, hit us up at Goblins Corner on Twitter. Do you enjoy this program? We have a whole Grassland more. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
Click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes and Podchaser, and on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button. Help get our show in front of more people and feed the hungry algorithm.
We're just currently rolling some grass up in what appears to be some rolling paper and offering it to you. It's paisley colored.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night, folks.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Show song by the Mighty D20.
What a wonderful guy.
This is a Subterranean production.
The end.